Landry and Callaway near side to the left. The Duke is into the game at running back. Duke Johnson on the left hip of Baker Mayfield. He puts Landry in motion left to right. From the 31, he's got the snap. Sty steps right, throwing long into the end zone. Perriman up in the air, tumbles. He's got it. Touchdown.
Unbelievable throw, unbelievable catch.
And the Browns have come to play. Pass the word. The Browns have come to play tonight. Baker Mayfield on a 3rd and 9 hits a 31-yard strike.
David, football, football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Now this is a show. Look out, Studio 66 overflowing with talent and humanity, sizable humanity at that. Hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are. Let's go around the wheel here in Studio 66. One of our favorites, his jersey hangs on the digital wall of fame. Mm. Cleveland Browns legend with a mustard smear on it.
Yeah, I always got to bring up the mustard.
That's right. There he is, everybody. It's Sean O'Hara.
You lay 1,000 bricks to be a bricklayer. You spill mustard one time.
Well, that's what happens when you eat a wiener.
For life.
In stall number 3, during a game, at halftime of a football game,
really?
Eating wieners.
Have you ever called a hot dog a wiener?
Not the answer is adulthood.
No. Yes.
Scarlet letter. It's a yellow stain on his career, and his head coach Chris Palmer caught him doing it. Anyway, that's Sean O'Hara.
It's another story.
Then
we need beers for that one.
In between me and O'Hara sits
Debo. What's up, Debo?
What's going on? How you doing?
Where's my bike?
It's over there in the garage.
Listen, Debo, to the sad Red. Voice.
The beach cruiser.
Uh-huh. What's Stanley's garage? Guys, what'd I tell you about staying off the grass?
I don't know why you come down here messing with these people. Mm-hmm.
That's Cole Wright, everybody. You watch him on Total Access and Beyond. And then seated to my immediate right, his virgin run here on the DDFP and a visitor to Studio 66. Future Hall of Famer. That's right. I think we can talk about a different kind of yellow. It's not the mustard that's smeared on.
I love how you brought that back.
Wow. That here great. He is, everybody. Cleveland Browns legend 2. Cleveland Browns offensive line legends. It's Joe Thomas. What's happening with you, fella?
Oh, not much. Just happy to be here in the famous Studio 66. Do you think this studio will be in the Hall of Fame, too, next to the yellow mustard-stained jersey? And
yeah, well, listen, play your cards.
We already
cards
got
right.
yellow right here.
Play your cards right, Joe Thomas. Perhaps one day your jersey will hang next to Sean O'Hara's. In the meantime,
the question is, which one goes in first, the Dave Dameshek podcast or the Tomahawk?
That would be neck and neck. Probably go together. I mean, we'd probably be in the same class.
What is it? Is this an interconference rivalry right now?
No. There's synergy. It's like car dealerships. So you put your car dealerships next to each other, you get true. More traffic.
So this is an away game for you, but this is a divisional. This is the division.
I guess
game.
So, but yeah, we have done the home and home. And,
we've done home and home.
Listen, I what's that? Yeah, we did. Yeah, I was on.
He was on the Tomahawk show
with Hawk and with Thomas. Great stuff.
His former producer actually became my producer, so there was some good relationships there. Yeah. Going way back.
So there was a trade.
The waybacks, we traded.
You traded.
You're actually, better. I think he upgraded. And, yeah. You know, we got his castaways.
So you guys got
Black
rid of.
Sorry, TD.
So it's like this is very incestuous. It's like the Browns and the Steelers.
This is Browns and
the
Steelers.
The Steelers traded away AB. The Browns traded for OBJ.
That's true.
It's everything is just shifting right here.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, and Black Tie. Yeah. Black Tie didn't fit into the Dave Dameshek football program's long-term plans, but we wish him all the best.
Was that
and
because
he was a big ticket sign? For Joe Thomas, why were Black Hawkins?
Black Tie was too
he
formal
was
for sign. You.
That's basically what it came down.
It was too formal.
Yeah, Black Tie didn't like guys wearing their hats backwards, and I have a more laissez-faire attitude.
You got a backwards hat guy?
No, I wear a hat backwards. Yep. I said black tie. Black tie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
He was very.
My mom admonishes me all the time for.
Is that true? Really? Like, grow up already.
You look like
Cole.
A 16-year-old. I'm 40. I'm a man. Joe,
I'm a man.
Like Mike Gundy.
Yeah,
what's exactly. interesting is Joe Thomas is one of the guys. We have a list that's growing by the day, which is guys who have two first names. And the smaller list is the one Cole Wright's on. No first name. Two last names. Oh. Cole and Wright. Really neither one a perfect first name.
Wow.
Why is Cole not a first name?
Is it more of a last name than a first name these days?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right. I'm going with. All right, fellas. Let's get into a couple of important items here.
It's not Cole wrong. It's Cole Wright.
Never heard that one before.
No original content on the Demichelle.
That was brand new.
Cole, wow. It's better to just not acknowledge.
Just let it go?
Keep on moving.
Okay,
keep on
I got gotcha. You.
Okay, so we have to do a food block. We haven't done a food block. We like to get offensive linemen together because obviously food played a major role in their careers. And so we have perhaps our most important endeavor yet. We are trying to figure out where in Football America has the single best food item around the NFL. Buffalo obviously has wings, and Florida, Miami has the Cuban sandwich, and so on. We want to figure out what the very best one is. We'll get to that in a second. Another endeavor that we're tackling here, 53 Super Bowls in, is which quarterback? It is the most important position, that goes without saying, in pro football. And who are the 12 guys to do it best in the Super Bowl era? I'm going to start by saying we're not considering Johnny Unitas. As great as he was, his best work came before the Super Bowl began. So he's out of consideration. Let me share with you and the audience who I have as the seven guys that are undebatable as far as I'm concerned. Tom Brady, obviously. Aaron Rodgers, Joe Montana, Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, John Elway, Dan Marino. Those are seven names that I think you would be really hard-pressed to make a case for, although Cole's already given me the snake eye.
I'm just looking at the list.
You don't think Aaron Rodgers belongs?
Are they in no specific order?
Or is that, that's loosely what the order would be for me. Actually, I would go Brady, wow. Montana, and then probably Elway would be the third best quarterback I've ever seen.
Wow. Over Favre.
Yeah.
Over Peyton Manning.
And Marino.
I say it. I say all the time, Marino and Elway are kind of neck and neck in my book. But Elway, it's not that he got those two at the very end of his career, thanks to Terrell Davis. What John Elway did, he got three very mediocre Denver Broncos teams to Super Bowls. They had no business getting there. Sammy Winder was his feature back. Do you even know who Sammy Winder is? He was a heavy set fella who
33.
Was it 23, but close. Yeah. And then Vance Johnson was his number one receiver. And nevertheless, they vanquished Joe Thomas's Cleveland Browns in back-to-back title games.
Was that the drive and the fumble?
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Yeah. So anyway, those are my seven here. And you guys saw a lot of the guys that are under consideration. Joe Thomas, float a name for me. Who do you think belongs in this top 12 beyond the seven that I've just...
Yeah, I think Bart Starr is a really strong candidate to kind of be one of those next guys. He won the first two Super Bowls with Lombardi's Packers. And so I think you got to get a little bit of a bump, a few extra points for winning the first two Super Bowls.
I appreciate the spirit of that. He obviously played... People don't connect the dots on these things. If you're of a certain age, you may not even realize that the famous Freezer Bowl game up in Lambeau, where it was minus 16 or whatever it was, and he leads the Packers down the field in the last couple of minutes, punctuated by his keeper at the end there to win the title. That just put them into the Super Bowl. People don't realize that.
Yeah, that was not the Super Bowl. That was the AFC or the NFC Championship.
Precisely, which was then considered the more important title to win, but nevertheless, that just put them into the Super Bowl.
Is that Jerry Kramer's instant replay? Was that after... Am I thinking of the right thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's right. He went right up over
that Super Bowl,
right up over 64 there. Yeah, or
a quarterback sneak. Yeah.
Precisely. Okay,
what a great name too. Since you were talking about names before, Bart Starr. I mean,
that's a good name.
Terrific.
That's a heck of a name.
Two R's at the end.
Starr. Yeah, some guys.
Bart Starr, famous pirate, also.
That's up there with Mickey Mantle. I'm trying to think of the most iconic just names. They had to move on to greatness given a name like that. Cole Wright, give me another one you want under consideration here.
Can I take someone out of the top seven?
Oh, wow. He's changing.
All right,
rules.
Go ahead.
I mean, I'm going to have...
That's written in ink, not pencil.
It is. We have to scratch them out and then kind of move.
Are you crazy?
But they'll
he's going to Debo somebody.
They'll be the first person right
seven.
Back in, though.
All right, go ahead.
I'm taking Aaron Rodgers out and putting Drew Brees in.
I like to be a gentleman. I like to be a nice host, but that's silliness. All right. Aaron Rodgers is one of the 12 best quarterbacks of the Super Bowl era.
Yeah, he's going right back in, but I feel that Drew Brees is more of a shoe-in to be in that list of quarterbacks.
I mean,
and not to say Aaron Rodgers isn't. He's the eighth guy.
Drew
he gets
Brees
added to the list.
Certainly
eight.
Prolific. There's no question about that. But he is kind of not exactly great when you take the roof off. I mean that seems like a big kryptonite to have if you're going to kiss this guy into undebatable status.
I mean, look, neither was Peyton.
True.
Yeah, you put Peyton outside. I mean,
but
it's
he did win
the same
a Super Bowl in Indy outside in the rain in Miami.
Yeah, he won it, but he also lost it down in the one he threw the pick six to Tracy
against
Porter.
Who? Oh, against Drew Brees. How about that?
Drew Brees.
So do we agree that Brees has to be in there?
I think Brees is definitely in there. I think he's one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks in the history of this game. When you look at what he has done statistically and year in and year out, I read a stat. He's thrown. Somebody double check me on this. Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy. You can't kill all the Gophers. He's thrown for over 5,000 yards. I want to say four times.
Five times.
There's only three other quarterbacks that have done that, and each of them has only done it once. Like when you look at the numbers on Drew Brees, it's unbelievable what the numbers he has put up. Yeah. And think about it. What Hall of Fame wide receiver has he done it with? Michael Thomas is probably the best receiver he's ever done it with.
That's absolutely his
first 100 catch wide
Jimmy
receiver
Graham
of his
was
career.
His number one receiver for a couple of years. I mean, you just look at what Drew Brees has done. It's unbelievable.
The only guy to catch 100 passes.
I'm co-signing on that.
The only guy to catch 100 passes before Michael Thomas from Drew Brees, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
That's interesting. Fun fact.
How about that? You dug that one out of the deep.
Fun fact.
All right. So do I get to add a name to this
list? Yes, you do.
Okay. Since we were talking about names.
Be careful.
Names. How about another guy with two first names that's not even on your list? And I'm shocked.
Oh, snap.
Go ahead.
Jim Kelly.
Ooh.
He's not on either any of these
Pretty
lists.
Strong.
You came He's up with this whole list of quarterbacks, and Jim Kelly is not on this. If Jim Kelly had won, let's say he went undefeated in the Super Bowls, you would have him right next to Brady.
Well, that's a pretty big leap if he had gone undefeated in Super Bowls.
Well, I'm just saying, the fact that he was in four straight Super Bowls, there isn't a single quarterback that can say that.
Okay.
Brady's been in three consecutive, but four consecutive.
I am down to add him to our list of candidates. I do not think he ultimately will get in. He's not going to jump over some of these other names here. Let's go to, are you too young to remember Roger Staubach, Joe Thomas?
I know of him, obviously, but I didn't watch him play. And being
where do you come down? A guy who you did watch from the sidelines, Ben Roethlisberger.
I think he's probably one of those guys that should be in there. I mean, the longevity he's had in Pittsburgh, the way he's done it now early on in his career, they were doing it with defense, but now he's putting up incredible numbers and they're doing it primarily with great offense, and his ability to avoid sacks and do things out of the pocket is fun to watch, and it's pretty unprecedented having a quarterback of that size.
I think the thing that gets slept on with him, and yes, a stable organization, and they tend to draft well, not flawlessly, but the fact of the matter is he's never had a losing season in 15 years. That's a crazy stat.
I was going to say, you should be the one talking about how great he is. I mean, being the Pittsburgh guy.
Well, to me, he's right on the cusp there. I think he's right around like 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that range. I would also put in Roger Staubach, though, if we're going deeper into history. So now we're up to, and I'll agree that Brees and Staubach, that gets us to 9. Cole Wright, who's next?
I'm going to have to go with, because you said if Jim Kelly had won 4 Super Bowls, we'd be putting him over there. I'm going to go with
even if he won 2.
Yeah, how about your boy, Terry Bradshaw?
I mean, listen, Bradshaw, talk about a guy who
there's
was
a lot of debate.
Yeah, you never hear his name brought up when you talk about all these best quarterbacks of all time.
And you would probably know more than all of us, but Terry threw a lot of interceptions.
You know who else?
Did the steel curtain carry him and bail him out? Which, look, you could say the same thing about Peyton Manning, because Peyton, let's be honest, he didn't win his last Super Bowl. I mean, I don't even know, what did he throw for, 180 yards? So he didn't win it. His defense did.
But
did Terry win 4 Super Bowls?
Bradshaw, it's interesting on a team that's known for its run game and its dominant defense and everything else back in the day when they were winning those 4 Super Bowls in 6 seasons. People, to this day, in the pass happy league in the 21st century and everything else, only one guy has ever rallied his team in the fourth quarter and thrown touchdown passes, both, by the way, over 70 yards in two Super Bowls in 10 and 14. And that man is Terry Bradshaw, two MVPs in Super Bowls, an MVP.
Lynn Swann
and John Stallworth, and made the transition from run in 78 when they modify the rules because of number 47, Mel Blount, was too physical, and they made it, they liberated the offenses a little bit. Terry Bradshaw goes from passenger to the MVP of the league. So he flipped a switch. And just in to the eyeball test, if you watch Terry Bradshaw, he has definitely one of the half dozen best arms you will ever see. He's like, he's got that Namath Marino kind of release up to the ear, and it's out. And and it's
obvious. He was scared.
His backup in college? You know who his backup in college was?
I don't.
The dad from Duck Dynasty.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Really?
How about that? How about that?
Boy,
he said he quit. He used to come, to practice with rabbits hanging out of his back pocket, and he wanted to hunt more than he wanted to play football.
Where do we consider – I'm not going to – I don't know. Well, let's hold off on Bradshaw because I think he's worthy of the consideration.
I think Bradshaw and Staubach are very similar. they're neck and neck. And the interesting thing with Staubach, too, is Staubach missed a couple of years because he went over and served in the Navy.
That's right.
So, you know, imagine if he hadn't missed that
and
time.
You're the guy you mentioned before, Jim Kelly, as happened to many guys in a certain era there. If they didn't go to the USFL, would have been held in higher regard. There are a number of guys. It's hard to believe if you are my age and you watched Herschel Walker at Georgia and then watched him early on in the USFL, that somebody would say to you, oh, yeah, that guy's not going to wind up in the Hall of Fame. You would have never believed that. Yeah.
Right.
By the time he got to the NFL, his best days had already come and gone. Cole Wright, give us another one now.
Steve Young.
You like Steve Young? I debated this with Mooch.
Lefty quarterbacks.
Head to head, Roethlisberger, Steve Young, Sean O'Hara. Who do you want for one game?
That's a no-brainer.
You know what? Steve Young can do things that Ben can't.
Yeah.
And that is run around. He was not an athletic quarterback. Like, Ben will sit back there and he can move around in the pocket. Ben will hold on to the ball. He's Captain Courageous back there in the pocket. But Steve Young, I mean, he was Michael Vick like when he got out in the open space. I mean, he was juking guys. He was slashing. Scrambling around.
Another USFL guy who would probably rank in the top 5 or 10 passers of all time.
Also a lawyer.
Is that right?
Steve Young.
I did.
Really?
Also a lawyer.
Did not know that. I know he's a big hedge fund private equity guy now.
Very smart dude.
No, he was a lawyer. Huh?
Joe Thomas.
Classically trained lawyer.
Talk about where Russell Wilson comes out on this thing. When we look back, 7, 8, 10 years from now, when he hangs it up, do we look at Russell Wilson and say, I mean, obviously, if they completely fall apart in these next few years, that'll change the argument. But is Russell Wilson tracking to go down as one of the greatest of all time?
He's young enough where if his career is able to continue another 8 or 9 years and he's able to make a few more playoff runs, maybe get to another Super Bowl, I think yes then. But at this point right now, we know Russell Wilson because he won a Super Bowl, but he had the Legion of Boom. And I think until he does something spectacular away from that defense, everyone's going to always look at him differently because that defense was so good when they did win the Super Bowl and when they went to the second one.
What about then one Cam Newton, who I always say in a world of classic paintings, you have to change your eye and look at as a modern, as a piece of modern art. It's you can't really compare. It's almost like comparing Cleveland, Chicago, and Pittsburgh versus Los Angeles. Completely different places, you know? Some places have a lot in common. LA is its own thing. Cam Newton, his own thing.
Cam Newton hasn't done it long enough. I think he had that MVP season, took him to the Super Bowl. But since then, he's kind of been, you'd say, a top half quarterback, maybe a top 10 quarterback in the league right now. But to me, to be able to be considered one of the greats of all time, you need to be considered one of the best 5 quarterbacks in the league for like at least a decade. And I don't see Cam Newton being in that category yet. But he's young. He's like Russell. Half the story has been written at this point.
It's funny you say that because I think his best days, or at least his most physical days, are past him now.
I agree. But that's why he's going to kind of have to change his game a little bit moving forward if he wants to have that longevity to be considered one of the 12 greatest.
Now, O'Hara, I'm always struck by the remark that people throw out so cavalierly when a high-end talent makes it to the NFL, a quarterback. This young fella's going to win multiple Super Bowls. Well, they only hand out the one Lombardi every year, so the math doesn't work out that all these talented quarterbacks are going to win multiple Super Bowls. Your window is only 12 or 15 years. So where do you come down on Andrew Luck at this point?
Andrew Luck... I think the hard thing with him is he lost a year and a half, so almost two full seasons he has lost, and I think those were some pivotal years. Your first couple of years in the league as a quarterback, look, I think you're learning on the fly. He certainly did that. You know, I think he led the league in interceptions as a rookie. So I think we saw last year what everybody expected Andrew Luck to be and to do in years 3 and 4. Injury obviously. Delayed some of that. I think he's trending that way. He's trending towards this list. I think he needs to have a couple more seasons of just complete dominant performances. Andrew Luck still will have those weird plays, those weird throws where what was he thinking? But very similar to what you were just talking about with Cam Newton and with Russell Wilson. Yeah. These guys, I mean, they are the up-and-coming next great guys that we could be talking about on this list, but it's either got to be multiple Super Bowls or unbelievable stretches where they were the best quarterback, top five quarterback in the league, hands down. And it's got to be consistent because there's a couple other guys that I'm looking on this list and I'm saying, well, where's Warren Moon? You know, where's Steve McNair? You know, guys like that, because
that was shameful on my part to leave off Warren Moon. Warren Moon should be in that conversation. But, of course, when you're making difficult cuts here, and we're talking about the 12 best, Warren Moon didn't get over the hump to even get to a Super Bowl. It's why you don't see Dan Fouts either. We have to make some tough calls on this.
Well, the fact that you have Cam Newton on here and over Warren Moon.
Cam Newton went 15-1 throwing to Philly Brown.
He had one season. Nick Foles went 14-2.
And – listen, he also had the greatest rookie season in quarterback history. Cam Newton.
I mean, if you're going to put him on this list,
Baker Mayfield had a pretty good rookie season last year too.
Oh, we'll get to him, Thomas.
He set the record for touchdowns.
Let's get to him now.
Rather important.
15 years from now, Baker Mayfield, is he one of the 12 best quarterbacks of all time? I know it's almost unfair to bring his name up.
He's practically there right now, right? What is he got?
We'll see him in the Super Bowl. It's all but guaranteed this year. He's going to the Super Bowl, right?
If you look at the direction his game is headed and the team that he's got around him, the youth that he has around him, there's no reason they don't dominate for 10 years. And then he's one of these guys we talk about in 10 years.
By the way, we see Daniel Jones, and it's interesting to sit between Joe Thomas, late of the Browns, and Sean O'Hara, late of the Giants. I know, obviously, O'Hara is a big Eli guy. And as a sidebar, you and I talked about a month ago, O'Hara, and it really did line up for that. I think the Giants, and who knows, we'll see, maybe they will still be a factor in the NFC East this season. But if they merely, and though I feel bad at this point for poor Daniel Jones, all the heat the kid's done, this should be a great moment in his
life.
Don't
feel bad for him. He's 6th overall pick.
I know, but it stinks that this is what he has to deal with. Everybody, you know, talking stuff about the guy. All he did was play well and get to be the 6th overall pick. But, not his fault that he went probably a little too high, but maybe he didn't go too high. We'll see in history.
If he had gone 15,
I know, but if they would have taken,
said the same.
But if they would have taken Montez Sweat or Josh Allen and then just done the draft exactly as they did it, they would be a real player right now. I might even pick them to win the division.
I agree 100%. If you would have switched, if the Giants took Josh Allen at 6, and then even if they used a pick like they did to move up and get DeAndre Baker at the end of the first round, if they use another pick to move up to get Daniel Jones, let's say they moved up to 10 or 12.
Or if they had taken Williams out of Bama. Throw him on add him to the line. All of a sudden, the deficit is a strength.
Here's the thing. Dave Gettleman came out and said, we had Josh Allen and Daniel Jones graded the same. They had the same grade. Josh Allen was absolutely 100% more of a need. Number one, he's a 3-4 guy. You run a 3-4. All right, he spent his entire college career in a 2-point stance. That's exactly what you had. So it was a perfect fit, and it was right there for the taking. So I agree 100%. If the Giants had taken Josh Allen, and then if somehow had gotten Daniel Jones, whether it was 17 or even if they use another pick or two to trade up to go higher and get Daniel Jones, if you came away with that just those two guys in the first round said, we got Josh Allen and we got Daniel Jones, I think everybody's singing a totally different song in New York.
For sure.
And you use that second round pick, you get another player, third. I mean, from and everything after that is gravy. And I think everybody would be singing a different tune. Now, that's where I take pause and I look at the draft is all about, look, you think you know, but you don't know what you think you know. You think you know.
Say it again, just for emphasis.
I don't even know.
I love post-draft grades. I like rating people. You don't know anything more than you knew before the draft.
You think you know what everybody else is doing, but are they really telling you what they're doing, or are they just telling you what they think you think they're going to do? So it's just so much. I mean, there's so much. You know what going on?
I know, but you play. But the Giants for now in the 21st century, you don't play for 3 or 5 years from now.
Here's what I've been
20th century stinking thinking. You play for right now, and they're built kind of to be competitive this year, or they would have been more competitive with an edge.
But that begs the question: why build for the future with the 6th pick? Let's win now. If Eli's your quarterback, especially, pick somebody who's going to help you right now.
Especially when you got Saquon last year. The clock is running on his prime. By the time he reaches his second deal, he's gonna be a diminished version
more
of
likely
himself.
Or likely not, as the running back position.
That's the way it goes.
You get 4 to 6 years, and then
Dave Gettleman knows that. I mean, look at Carolina. Right. Look at Carolina, that's their philosophy.
It really is weird stuff.
It's actually been a frustrating thing for 3 years because, you know, the funny thing is everybody's asking me. We were on Total Access yesterday, and they were talking about, well, Daniel Jones. And now Eli has to deal with Daniel Jones. Guess what? Eli's been dealing with them drafted quarterbacks for 3 years now.
Yeah, how crazy.
Two years ago, they drafted Davis Webb, and I sat right on that set after they drafted Davis Webb. But Dan Helley asked me, hey, is this heir apparent to Eli Manning? Do you like the pick? And I said, no, because it's a waste of a pick. They just wasted a third-round pick on Davis Webb. He never saw the field. Now he's with the Jets. All right, so there's a third-round player that could have been playing for the Giants, could have been helping out. Last year, Kyle Auletta, same thing. We love this kid. He's got a lot of upside. I mean, everything was going great until he got arrested for, you know, trying to beat traffic on 495 or going around the Lincoln Tunnel. Now Kyle Auletta, where is he? Nobody's even talking about him. I mean, he's like Waldo right now. Mm. So they've 3 years in a row now they've drafted a quarterback. The problem is, to your point, Joe, and I'm with you, the 6th overall pick, he might not see the field for 2 years. They're saying, hey, he's here to learn. So this year, Daniel Jones is not to see the field.
It's not 1982.
It's so hard.
Guys play fast, especially if you're going to burn a first-round pick on them, you must play them immediately.
It's hard. And, like, everybody compares to the Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. The problem is Aaron Rodgers was the 24th overall, right? 24th? So there was no pressure to put him on the field right now. It was a luxury pick. And the Packers were good. When you're a good team, you can afford to, hey, you know what? Like Kansas City, they had Alex Smith. They were a good team. They could take Mahomes at 15 and sit on him. If you're a good team, you could sit on a quarterback on the first round for a year or two and justify it. It's hard to do that when you're not a good team. You had 2 wins the year before. Well, they have 4 wins last year or 6 wins. I can't even remember how many. It feels like so long ago. But to be able to get somebody with that 6th pick that could help you out in week one, and the whole season?
Of course. It's the age of free agency. What are you doing?
But to your point, that they felt like, and just talking to people around the Giants, they felt like they couldn't let that first round go by and let somebody else take Daniel Jones. He was their favorite quarterback.
This guy better be pretty good because
here's the other part of this equation. Think about how much we have talked about Daniel Jones already. Imagine if that had been any of these other quarterbacks, either last year, this year. I mean, Dwayne Haskins, how is he going to handle all this stuff? How is he going to handle sitting and talking?
Well, that's what I want to ask you about.
So listen to what Daniel Jones has said and how he said it. That's the only way all this works. And that's the reason why they were all in on Daniel Jones, because you get a guy like Baker or somebody that's in there, hey man, I'm ready to play. I'm better than
you.
This
lead
guy.
Me into it's just you a lead totally me into exactly what I wanted
drama.
To ask.
Thank you.
Daniel Jeremiah last year. I remember talking right before the draft to Joel Klatt and Daniel Jeremiah, two of the most esteemed scouting guys, you know, QB guys. And I said Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold, because all the talk for the 4 months leading up was Sam Darnold's the guy, and there's not a question about it. Then all of a sudden, when a few days, nope, Baker's the guy. And Klatt said, no, Baker's the right pick here. And DJ said, I still like Darnold's talent better, but the Browns need a guy with swagger. They need a guy who's willing to say blank you to the opponent. You're an Eli guy. I met Daniel Jones in passing, but I can say that they both cut that figure. Very nice. Very, you know, water off the back kind of vibe to them. What's better ultimately? The swagger in QB? Or the guy who it seems like no matter what's going on around him, his face never changes. Joe Thomas, I'll start with you. I mean, that goes in with like gunslinger versus, you know, meditative.
What's better?
Game
I mean,
man.
And it doesn't really matter what your personality is. It's as long as that's who you are. That's the better thing. I will say that if you're the Eli, you're not going to give any ammunition to the media. You're not going to give ammunition to your opponent. You know, Brady's the same way. They would never say anything controversial because they don't want to add any layers, any extra difficulty where you have to respond to things that they've said. But at the same time, they're not going to exactly motivate the team by challenging them with saying provocative things, whereas a Baker, maybe Cam Newton, those type of guys, they have a way of being able to motivate their team by their words that they say and the challenges that they make in the media. And so I don't know if either one's better.
I'll say this as a fan. As a fan, at least, I must plant my flag for swagger and gunslinger.
Well, it's more fun,
it's
obviously.
Definitely more
it's
fun.
It's so much more fun. It's so boring.
Joe Namath, this yeah. nonsense that even the best player in the history of football now is like, nobody believes in us. Everybody thinks we suck. Like, that false modesty, it's come and gone now. Let's get back to some swagger.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
As somebody that's sitting on this side of the camera now, I hate the Brady. I hate the Manning because they don't ever say anything. They're so
you
boring.
You don't believe that.
You don't
so why
believe
do you
it.
Say it? Right.
But and you love the Bakers and you love those guys, but it does cause their teammates to have to answer a lot of questions and to have to talk with the media about a whole other layer of stuff that maybe you don't want to deal with because you want to just be keeping your mind on football.
Why don't we just go back to this little quarterback list that we wrote up?
Okay, we will. Here's the
but
one
I'm just
question
saying,
I have.
Look at name me somebody on that
somebody's got
top
a tea time.
On that top list that is a trash talking
Favre, Elway, Marino. What do you mean? Those guys all were.
They were in your face doing all the stuff that
yes.
talking about.
No, Rodgers is out there gesticulating at his teammates for running the
I
wrong route.
Say trash talking,
no,
but they definitely have a lot of personality.
They're just confident. I'm talking about just overflowing with
bravado.
But there's a difference between being confident and being an in your face.
You don't have to be Phil Rivers and Jay Cutler at the start of their careers yelling across sidelines. But yes, I like the moxie. I like those guys. I like Baker Mayfield. Feeling dangerous.
Like
if I were a Browns guy, I'd be over the moon about that.
Well, you got to love a guy with personality. You're naturally drawn to that type of person, but I don't think that makes him any better of a quarterback than the Mannings or the Brady type
of
guys.
But the tough thing with that is that a lot of these quarterbacks, they have personality, but they don't show it when they're in the media. You know, and it's funny because people ask me all the time, especially in Eli's early years, hey, what's Eli like? I tell you what, the Eli that you guys see at the podium after every press conference, I've said it yesterday on Total Access, man, he's vanilla ice cream on purpose. He knows. He gets the game. Listen, I'm not going to say something that I'm going to have to hear about for the next week. You're never going to get a fancy quote from him. There will be some humorous stuff. Peyton was the same way. I mean, you look at a lot of these guys.
Peyton
that
said
way.
Some stuff, even about his own teammates on occasion.
Right, but very rarely.
I hear you.
They were much more CEO types just because they understood the noise. They understood what they represent. Now, the one thing to your point is from quarterback style, here's what I want. The quarterback, when you come in that huddle, we better respect you. All right. I played with Kelly Holcomb. And early on in my career, he was one of my favorite quarterbacks because he was the first quarterback that I've ever played with that would walk in, get in the huddle. All right, hey, listen, don't nobody effing jump right now. All right, I'm going to go on three. I'm going to get the hard count. All right, don't you hold your water. We're going to get an easy first down here or I'm going touchdown. I mean, immediate respect right away. He came in and he commanded. He told us what was going to happen. Sure enough, I'll be damned, it happened. And it was just he had a presence about him and he had confidence in himself. wasn't a high draft pick, but he came in there, and you knew when Kelly was running the offense. Hey, man, don't.
We got to get back to that. I'm telling you, enough with the collegial jazz of the jersey swapping and all that stuff. You guys may be in a union together, and you might transfer from one office in Indianapolis to the other office in Atlanta. But we fans don't want to hear about that. We want you to hate your foes. We want Joe Namath. We want John Wayne out there. Now, last one about the QBs, Patrick Mahomes, 15 years from now, couldn't have a better second season than what he had it 15 years from now. Can he sustain this if Tyreek Hill's not out there with him? He already doesn't have Kareem Hunt out there. Is this a sustainable track that he's on?
Absolutely.
O'Hara.
Wow.
Explain?
Go ahead.
Why doesn't he just fill in the Scantron and hand it in?
Yeah,
and
just all C's. Show up? Because that's the most often used.
80% chance.
Exactly.
Fill the C.
Is that
all
what
right.
it was?
Something like
that. I never actually did it.
Sure.
I probably should have.
Sure.
probably got a better score if I would have actually done that. I mean, you just see what Patrick Mahomes can do when he goes out there. I think he's a guy who's going to make everybody else better. I mean, there are guys like Tyreek Hill who have that talent that you just can't teach. But I feel like someone else is going to step in. It's just how it's going to be. I'm not saying he's like Tom Brady just quite yet. But when the guys just fall in line, he's going to make that next player better. And I think we're going to see it. And it's just the amount of arm slots he can throw from. I think whoever the open man is, he's able to get you the ball.
Best arm I've ever seen. Rodgers scary. Was it. I mentioned, there's Bradshaw and there's Marino and Elway. But, I mean, to me, I've never seen the equivalent
of
the ease with which he can get rid of the ball.
I think back to last year, two of the best games of the season last year
were the
Chiefs-Rams game.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That Monday night game where they scored 100 and some points together. Rams won that game. So Mahomes loses that game, and then the playoff game against the Patriots, Mahomes lost that game. In both of those games, he led his team back, found a way to take the lead. Even at the Patriots game, I thought the game was over with. All of a sudden, boom, Tyreek Hill streaking down the side, gets the beer thrown in his face. So Mahomes, he can make those throws with the game on the line, and that throw to Tyreek Hill was him buying time in the pocket. So. Yeah, he's got an unbelievable skill.
But that speed out there is unique, too. The fact that you have a guy who can throw it a mile and a guy who can get behind the defense like that.
He's like a mixture of Aaron Rodgers and
Uncle Rico.
And Steve Young.
Mahomes makes our list 15 years from now?
Absolutely. The skill set that he possesses, like you mentioned, it's already in the elite category, and now he's just got to put that skill set with a career. And I think he will, because as long as Andy Reid is there, they're going to put offensive weapons around him that fit with what he does. They're going to get another fast guy. Tyreek Hill is not the only fast guy.
Yeah,
they already did. Mecole Hardman ran a 4.33.
They'll be able to get other running backs that can catch the ball and do a lot of the things that Kareem Hunt did. And honestly, I think losing those guys, probably losing Tyreek Hill, it's going to only help his legacy, because they're going to say, well, he was the MVP in his second year because of all these weapons. Well, you lose some of those weapons and you still sustain that success. Now that elevates who you are. And now we can say, well, he did it without any of these cast of characters, which is the argument that you seem to be making with Cam and some of these other guys, is, well, they didn't have anybody to throw to.
Well, that's why I hold Elway up there. He, to me, is the patron saint, not Marino, who also didn't have much of a running game for the bulk of his career, too. It's Elway actually got the Super Bowls three times.
But it seems like when we're talking about all these guys, what has elevated them? What has elevated them, though, is the lack of weapons.
That one, like War Moon.
If you're doing it and you got all these weapons, then everyone's always going to try to poke holes in your career.
Well, that's why I don't have Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman's not in there for me for that.
Too many weapons.
Exactly, right. Yeah. Well, who knows? I would have probably thrown about 20 touchdown passes. Yeah. If I
but
had
the
that
thing is, we don't know
Michael Irvin.
Really,
and Smith.
Really?
Who are you? About 20. I said O'Hara.
Who are you?
I didn't say 30.
Danny Amendola.
No, I'm a lefty fella. You know, I got the whip.
No, you're Danny Amendola. 100 grand. You can't throw this football on top of that roof.
Yeah. I might be wrong, but I think there's zero left-handed quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Is that true?
Right. No, last season,
I need one.
That's period. Last season, 3D. There were zero. I don't know if there's any
rosters.
Or left-footed punters than left-handed quarterbacks.
That's crazy.
Yeah, my eye still isn't used to seeing left-footed kickers. I don't like when that's got to be a trip for the holder. Anyway, all right, let's move off of that one. And quickly, before you guys punt on us here, weigh in on the the Football America Food Challenge here, DDFP, 32 teams. We're giving L.A., because they have two teams, and New York, two teams, two foodstuffs. We have it now. O'Hare, I'll turn to you.
Wait, what's LA's foodstuff? A Brussels sprout salad?
Now, why are you like that? Why do you? What are you? Woody Allen making like Annie Hall? That's fine with me.
I'm curious. What is anything LA's you can food?
Anything you can do?
Because everybody in LA is from somewhere else. So that's curious. What is LA's food?
I want you to depress real estate here. We don't need more people coming out.
Tacos?
Here.
Really?
But the idea that LA doesn't have good food tacos is crazy.
Well, Los Angeles. The Chargers Texas? Really get screwed.
Wrong. I lived in Texas. Wrong.
Just tacos. Mexico?
Well, I'm
tacos. Look at these other ones.
I'm open to other options there. What do we think about Sean O'Hara, New York?
Kansas City is burnt ends.
That's what I've talked to the.
What? How is Kansas City burnt ends?
Because that's what all the people told me it should be.
That's barbecue.
Fantastic.
Burnt ends? Okay, okay. Burnt ends. I was going to say brisket for sure.
Never it's had
the
burnt
brisket
ends.
Burnt ends.
Yeah,
it's like the special part that that's has what that extra caramelization.
Yeah. Well, I think we got to clarify brisket.
Thomas knows his way around.
Easy on the fat, though. Easy on the fat on the burnt ends.
I love brisket.
Easy on the fat.
Oh, I like a nice moist.
Did you ever cook with Mitchell Schwartz?
See, this is what I'm talking about. L.A. Rams, spicy tuna, crispy rice.
I don't know what that is.
I'll hit him up for it.
That's what I'm talking about. He's going to get sensitive. The L.A. Rams is spicy tuna, crispy rice.
That's delicious.
With a side of edamame?
I don't know. It sounds pretty good. I'm kind of hungry.
It is good. All right, O'Hara, enough with the cynicism, fella. Way in New York. The debate for New York is, we go with a New York slice, right?
Yeah.
You ain't going to
Ray's Pizza.
Which one?
Right, okay.
Ray's Pizza.
Original Ray's? Famous Ray's?
Do we do a street wiener?
Terrible.
Is that what you want?
We got to keep this PG. No street meat.
No street meat.
No.
Okay.
Thomas. Here's the thing with the New York, I mean, yeah, pizza slice, I get it, but I mean, I guess Italian food is just
Eddie's.
Too,
you can't say Italian can't say, food. You can't claim can't an say, entire ethnicity of food. Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass is a Staten Island guy, as you know, O'Hara.
Yeah. So what he is it? Pork roll.
He said bagel.
Taylor ham and egg and cheese.
Bagel's number two option behind pizza.
But if you're from Staten Island, aren't all the best bagels from Brooklyn though because of the water?
I mean, Staten Island's similar. Same thing with pizza. I would take Staten Island pizza or Brooklyn pizza over like Manhattan pizza
or pastrami because it's hard. I mean, the Katz is deli, man. That's Carnegie, that pastrami is the best. Yeah. Mm.
But Gemini Diner, you know about that?
I don't know.
About nothing.
No.
Eddie Spaghetti in Murray Hill.
Go ahead, Gemini O'Hare. Diner. I want you to cast the deciding vote: bagel or pastrami.
For the New York
and this
Jets.
Is our final list before we go out with it.
I mean,
just pastrami or pastrami sandwich? Like just a pile of pastrami?
Hey, that's a good way to get it. Go to Cats and get a heap of it. It's delicious that good. Way.
Yeah. I would say bagel because the Jets spend so much time out on Long Island.
Bagel it is. Bagel it is. Joe Thomas, for the city of Cleveland, I've heard from people that Polish sausage, the thing that they love most up there is their stadium mustard. They're very proud of Cleveland of their
very
mustard.
Very proud of the mustard.
The brown mustard, which I advocate for myself.
That's really good.
I know. That's why it's on my jersey.
Spicy?
Yeah, it's got a little bit of spice to it. It's nice. It's a very nice, smooth brown mustard that you're supposed to put on your stadium dogs.
Who let the dogs out?
I used to say, by the way, Joe Thomas, not for nothing, I used to say that yellow mustard. We could save a lot of time in conversation going forward. So often in restaurants, could I have some mustard? Do you want yellow? Do you want spice?
Nobody wants yellow mustard except for my daughter, who's six. Once you reach puberty, you should not be eating yellow mustard anymore.
We might fast track his jersey into the wall of fame with that comment.
I can eat it. It's not my first choice, but I can definitely
eat
it.
I'll eat yellow mustard.
Actually, I like yellow mustard worthless. Better than spicy brown mustard.
What?
That's too much.
Is it because you just hate spicy foods?
Oh, I love spicy food.
But you don't like brown spicy mustard.
Who in the world would ever
brown
choose?
Brown spicy mustard.
It
is
looks
good on
like my
meats.
6-week-old's dirty diaper.
There is no reason, O'Hara.
Brown mustard.
There is no occasion.
Cancel my lunch, James.
There is no occasion that you would ever, given a choice, so you have a warm pretzel, a wiener, anything else, that you would ever say, yeah, put the yellow on that over the, there's spicy mustard? You would never put the yellow over the spicy. Yeah.
Grey Poupon?
I'd take yellow.
Yeah, Grey Poupon's good.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we don't have to add
but
Joe
for
Thomas.
Cleveland,
maybe he just replaces Sean O'Hara.
for Cleveland, the panini sandwich is...
What even is that? Depressed bread?
Yeah. No, not that kind of panini. It's basically like Permane Brothers down in Pittsburgh. You know, Pittsburgh and Cleveland are the same city.
Yeah.
There's one's on a lake and one's on a river.
And one has six Lombardies.
People are not
going to
like
zero.
Hearing that.
I wasn't talking about from a trophy standpoint, but fans are very similar. But the sandwich, it's a panini, not the pressed one, the hot one. It's the panini sandwich, just like they have, like they call it Permane down there. It's the bread with the fries, the coleslaw, everything all jammed in there. But the thick, like homemade bread. Not
false advertising, almost.
I like a little thin thing.
So. Joe Thomas, I want you to cast the deciding vote here as the Cleveland representative. O'Hara has half a vote. He voted on New York.
Yeah. I like the Polish sausage with the stadium mustard. That's a strong choice. Stadium mustard is like a religion in Cleveland. But I think one that was not mentioned was the pierogies.
Pierogies are
a big thing in Cleveland. And
is Polish sausage correct? Is it not a kielbasa?
It's a Polish kielbasa. Type of making a sausage, though. But
yeah, it just feels weird to say.
Like kielbasa
and Polish sausages are different.
Like, they're different. The spices are different, and the shape and everything.
All right, okay. Now we have. So
I'm just trying
to
get the word Polish out of the Cleveland line there.
And I'm with you on and pierogies. I have them down for Pittsburgh. Pierogies. Do I also list them next?
I think Cleveland should have pierogies on there as well. I would still vote for the sausage with stadium mustard, but
potato and cheese pierogies.
Yeah, that's your traditional pierogi. Traditional,
Listen, we did a lot of good work here. And
solved the world's problems here.
Listen, Joe Thomas, you have come out of the gate red hot, and I congratulate you on that and thank you for the effort. And your reward, yours too, Sean O'Hara, in the food block is we're going to have to get all these foods, Eddie Spaghetti. I don't know if you're going to get in the car and pick them all up.
Can I just go on record and say that every time we do a food topic on here, he says the same thing after the end of the hey, next time we're going to get
food. Next time we'll have food.
That's not true.
I'm going to run that back. I think that's been going on 4 years now that he always said,
next
time.
Were you here
when
we did the potato preparation?
No, I think I was on with Ross Tucker. We Skyped him in, and you were talking about food, and you were like, next time you're in here, we're doing all food spread. Never happened.
Well, we had all manner of potato preparations. We had those.
Can we add another
I think it was
D
baldy.
To your double D? Dave Damashek delivers on that.
Oh,
can we
I like
go
that.
Triple D's?
We can
allowed?
Do that. We will do that.
With a side of wiener for you?
Wiener.
All right, good luck with your new D, Daniel Jones there, Sean O'Hara.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to see him play next year or 2 years
or not.
From now or whenever they decide to put him out there.
By the time he gets to his fourth or fifth season, he's going to be ready to go, Giants
man,
fans.
It's
going to
be great. Hey, that good year. Now what do we do? Franchise tag him. Now we're stuck with Kirk Cousins.
Good times. Thank you very much, Joe Thomas. A pleasure to have you here. Hope we'll see you again in Studio 66 sometime soon. Sean O'Hara, always delightful. You two go on. Get. You did banner work here. Co-write and
see
I
you,
have
Debo.
A few other things to talk about.
We do.
With Chicago, let's turn to, before we abandon the food discussion here, Chicago's an interesting category. Italian beef, Chicago deep dish style pizza, or the most overrated of all the
whoa,
the Chicago wiener.
Hold on, what? It's not called the Chicago wiener.
It has
nobody,
a tomato
wedge. Nobody
wedge
calls
on it. That's
it that.
Disgusting.
It's Chicago dog.
All right, it's
Chicago
disgusting.
Dog. It's fantastic.
It.
There's a you. I mean,
who puts tomato? A chunk of tomato.
Chicago, the city that works.
Gross.
It's a meal. It's not just a snack.
All right,
it's a meal.
Salad. I don't
it's
want that
tremendous.
on my.
Celery salt.
The worst one.
Peppers.
The worst one is, as we've said before, is Cincinnati with the
Skyline chili.
With the chili,
it's like tomato water with meat chips.
It's a horrible representation of chili.
It's the worst.
Before you even involve the noodles
it's
and
terrible.
Everything else,
yeah.
Chicago. What do you think? Deep dish pizza. Oh. I think more and more that's where my head's going here. Although Italian beef with giardiniera on it,
it's splendid.
But do people do local? I mean,
I don't like.
If somebody said, "Hey, I've never been to Chicago. What do I have to hit? I'm going up there for a weekend. Do I? Where should I go? Do I have to get deep dish?" Would you say, no, forget that. Go and get an Italian beef. Is that what you would actually say to somebody? Or you would say, well, you got to get the
deep dish. Well, I would
That's
say
kind of the measure.
There would be two check marks. I'd say go and get you some deep dish pizza from Lou Malnati's at some point. Now, there's all this jazz going on right these days about Pequod's, this place that's – I've never
it's
been.
Very good.
I've never been. So, I mean, I know you spent a lot of time in Chicago. You know, lived there once upon a time.
It was great.
I've never been to Pequod's, so I'm just going to go Lou Malnati's.
Okay.
You know, you're never going to go wrong with that. It's as Chicago-style pizza as you're going to get. I'll say go there, and I'd also say always go to Portillo's.
Okay.
And you could check off an Italian beef and a Chicago dog all in one sitting. When the draft was in Chicago, I was at O'Hare. I was waiting at my gate, and I walked past the little stand, and I said, ooh, I'm doing both. I got an Italian beef with sweet peppers and a Chicago dog.
One guy who thinks he knows everything about food, it's hit and miss, is Adam Carolla. But he did say that's exactly what happens to him. Every time he lands in Chicago, before he can even get out of the airport, he has to hit
Chicago dog and a beef, man.
Hey, but we got to choose. I'm going to say, I'm going to make a final verdict.
I'll go pizza.
Eddie Spaghetti. It's got to be deep dish.
I think if you're going about like the most iconic food from
like
the region.
The measure is, okay, I'm going there. I've never been there. What do I have to get?
It's got to be pizza.
Right.
If you go for your first time, you like, yeah. Oh, I was there for a week, but I didn't have a single slice
That's
of pizza.
Pizza. Shame on you.
But I had Italian beef. It's like, why'd you even go? It's That's like kind of going there, not going to like Wrigley Field. I think it's like something you have to do. So yeah.
That's
it's
like, I went to see the White Sox. Like, no disrespect to White Sox fans. You know.
Exactly.
It's still Chicago.
You get it, Cole Wright. All right, let's move on now to a couple other items here. We don't want to marathon here, Eddie Spaghetti, for the listener. So you choose what you want me and Cole to kibitz about here.
Do you guys want to get into some NFL stuff, or you want to get into some Game of Life stuff?
We did plenty of pro football talk already, didn't we? We ranked QBs. We covered 53 years.
There's so many great topics
on
this list.
Oh, you know what? You're so our guest, Cole Wright. Where are my manners? You choose. Game of Thrones. What did you think?
I don't watch Game of Thrones. We know that. I thought this was well documented. Flying dragons.
Can I tell you this? We don't even have to indulge that. I don't know what's going on. All it is these days is cynicism and poking holes in what's wrong.
I would love to be a fan of it.
I don't care about the Starbucks cup. That doesn't bother me at all. What I do care about is Jamie and his behavior in the last episode. That was lame, wasn't it, Spaghetti? I'm not even going to say what it is. People know what it is.
I think you'll be surprised at what his ultimate motive is.
You think there was a motive?
Yeah.
And it was sinister.
He didn't leave.
There's a dude named Jamie?
Yeah.
And
Hold on a second. You got all these crazy, like, futuristic names, and there's some cat named Jamie?
I always thought even worse than a world of of Tormunds and Tyrions. Imagine being Rob. There was a guy named Rob Stark.
He got his.
Hey, y'all seen Rob and them? No? All right.
Tormund, the nearest mother of dragons, and Rob.
Terrible. Someone got lazy. It was a late night. Who are we thinking of names of?
What's this guy's name? The king?
Yeah.
He has a wolf. That's enough. He's got more than enough going for him already.
The only way to be worse is just call him just Bob.
Seth.
That would be worse. Greg. What?
Ooh, if you're listening out there, royal family, as you're trying to name that baby, Greg is a great option. Spaghetti, I saw a vet. Did you see Endgame?
Oh, did I thought you said Spaghetti.
No, I'm sorry.
I did not. I'm not into the superhero movies, man. It's not my thing.
Cole, what are you into?
But I did see Captain Marvel because you know, I have a little daughter and she's a big fan of that. I've seen it four times, but I've really
female
only seen it once.
Female empowerment, great message.
Falling asleep
regard.
In it three times.
Yeah, it was. That was pretty good. I thought Endgame. Can I tell you something, Spaghetti? And I'm not just trying to be a vapid cynic. I thought it was like. It's a
three hours. It's 3 hours.
The idea, the way people describe it, is the greatest epic and the most spectacular comic book movie ever. I don't agree.
It's too much.
I definitely think it is. I think for a movie to be 3 hours long and you somehow tie up all loose ends in a really good way, everyone seems pleased by it. I'll say, in terms of comparing it to Infinity War, the one previous, Infinity War probably way funnier, probably had better battle scenes, but I would say that Endgame, in terms, not even just a superhero movie, it was just a flat-out good movie with a nice arc.
I thought
arc.
What I think does stand out and distinguish it in a good way from most superhero movies, act three of most action movies is a tough payoff because you've built up your enemy or enemies to be unbeatable, unstoppable. Then you have to figure out how you're going to beat them. And that's usually vaguely unsatisfying. I thought in this case, it was really well done. That, and there was emotional stuff and everything else. I thought the run up to it, though, left this reporter a little underwhelmed.
Okay.
Right. So I thought it was good. I thought it was very good.
I'll take you.
I don't think it's an Academy Award winner. As some
people are any superhero movies?
Yeah, I think some
do they win? I mean, outside of like sound.
No, I think maybe, I think some of those Batman movies with Christian Bale were nominated. Black Panther
was too, and which is I think Black Panther is great, but I think these two newer ones, Infinity War and Endgame, I think are just a little bit better than those two. I'd be fine if those were nominated, but I don't think Infinity War was.
I feel like if top of the line comedies receive zero awards when it comes to the Academy,
that's exactly right.
That's ridiculous. How many bad comedies are there every single year? But how tough is it to make a solid one? Come on, Academy. Let's stop being so.
It's why you see so many generations over. You see the funniest guys have to try to
make a transition
to somebody. Well, they're trying to prove to somebody because they've heard enough. Yeah, but you're just being funny. Do something more important. Hey, it's way harder to be funny.
Absolutely.
Than it is to be serious.
Laughter the best medicine, Dave.
That's it. That's right. All right, Cole.
You like that?
You get that. You get it, Cole. what else, Spaghetti? I don't care about the Kentucky Derby.
Well, we're still talking movies. Do you like the fact that Disney just comes out with the list of movies all the way until 2021 or whatever?
Doing too much, man.
They just announced like 70 movies. Cole's
on his way out of this phase of all the kid movies. Your little
I saw Ugly Dolls this weekend.
And?
It's pretty funny.
Was it good?
Yeah, and Pitbull is in that movie. I'm not a Pitbull fan at all. Pitbull had me laughing in that movie. I'll give it up to Pitbull.
I'll see it, but yeah, I've got
a lot of remakes coming here, man. What's
it's a ton of remakes. A lot of Avatar, obviously a lot of Marvel, a couple Pixar ones.
Mulan.
A couple more Star Wars as well. All on titles, so they're just like teasing you a bit, but you have movies literally until 2027.
I asked my kids the other day, you can only see one, Endgame or the third of this grouping of Star Wars movies. They said Avengers. I said, wrong. Correct answer is Star Wars, even though I haven't even loved these last two Star
Wars.
They're
not great.
And now I stand by that answer even more squarely than I did before. And one thing I'm positive about is after seeing it, Spaghetti, Darth Vader would definitely beat Thanos in a fight.
There's absolutely no way.
Zero doubt that is the case after seeing that. Darth Vader would choke Thanos out from a half mile away. Why wouldn't it affect him? What does that mean, wouldn't affect him?
Plenty of great people on Twitter have tweeted information about he's like a higher level of being. Essentially, what Vader was a guy who, you know, got these powers. But he's like
the Thanos, Force.
He's
the Force
a higher
ran
level
deep.
Being
Thanos
than Vader.
Is godlike. Like I don't even think
is,
his powers.
Is Thanos
even,
still alive in this?
I can't answer that.
Well, you don't want
Vader's dead, so we do know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Luke was quite the Force with that lightsaber.
But Vader gave his life so that his son Luke could live. It's like. There's still time to save you. You already have, Luke. You already have.
Yeah, it was creepy when they took Vader's mask off, though. Even as a kid, it was kind of like,
I know.
I want to put that mask on.
Powerful. More powerful than seeing what happened to Thanos, and I'm not going to tell you. He dies.
I'll probably never find out.
I can't believe you just did that.
Yeah. Did someone snap their fingers and he dies?
Did anybody think Thanos was going to live? That's not a spoiler alert. Do you think Thanos lives at the end of the Avengers? He's the bad guy. Of course, they're going to kill him.
You don't. It was called Endgame. I don't know. I didn't know going in.
So there's no more. They've killed the franchise, then?
No, there's a lot more.
Still going
to. There's like movies they have similar to Disney. They have movies planned until 2027.
Sure,
as well.
More to come.
They're adding Fantastic Four. They're adding the X-Men. They're adding a whole bunch of.
Wait a second.
When is Plastic Man going to get his own movie? Remember him?
I remember Plastic Man. He was the DC guy.
He was pretty weak. That was being facetious there.
Right,
yeah, but he's never going to get his own.
Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Now that was a guy.
I remember him. I remember having Mr. Fantastic.
Fantastic
back in the day.
Four, as I've said many times before, I'm pretty sure. I don't know if they've confirmed this, but it was, as I've said ad nauseum, it's a gay parable. is what because the Fantastic Four is Mr. Fantastic, mm-hmm. the Thing, the Human Torch, whose catchphrase is "Flame on," and then there is a woman, but she's invisible. You do the math on that, right?
That's your premise.
I don't think that's a fraudulent thesis to throw out there. I legitimately believe that that was the thought.
Well, I always said if I was a professional wrestler, that my ring name would be Cole Fantastic.
Well, that'd be a good name.
You like that one?
Listen, that's what Marvel is all about. That's what the mutant thing is all the X-Men is all about. That sort of disenfranchised minority and everything else, and the mutants aren't wanted by the so-called normal people.
It's like Zootopia, right?
I guess it's another analogy you can draw there.
Where's Zootopia 2 on this list?
What else before we go here, Spaghetti? You're going to see Ariana Grande.
Yeah, I could ask you guys for advice. What do you do at a concert you don't want to go to?
Don't go to it.
When I was, you were locked in and have to go, good. No matter what.
Hang out.
What happened
at the
concession
that
you're required?
Stand.
What chain of events could make it so that you have to go? Or else I'm going to break up with you.
I'm a good person. I'm not going to. I think they were either a Christmas gift or a birthday gift. So I have to go with my girlfriend. I can't not go.
Why didn't you buy those for your girlfriend and one of her friends?
I thought about that.
Why didn't you say, you know, I know you and
that was the thought.
Whatever person. I know you guys love Ariana Grande. You guys go. Have a great time.
You're right.
Now you're stuck.
It was thought of, and it was proposed, but it was vetoed because I have brought my girlfriend to too many of my concerts. She's like, well, it'd be good if you came to one of mine. So I was like, that's
but why would I mean, if you know that she doesn't like your concerts, why would you bring her knowing
exactly
that? I haven't gone to a concert with my wife, but I feel like there's a lot of shows I'm like, oh, I really want to see that. Like, do you want? Never mind. She's not going to like that.
She's a better person than me because she said that she would enjoy it because she's like, it's something I enjoy, and that she wanted to experience it.
But do you know that's a lie?
I mean, yeah, now I do. Definitely. After like four Pearl Jam shows, like my Morning Jagged show, a Jim James solo show, like a lot of other stuff.
I think what happens.
My Morning Jacket.
Here's my hypothesis on why that sort of thing happens. It's because people want to keep an eye on you. The idea of sending you in your 20s, you're sending, go off, mate. Yeah, go have a grand time. You know, who knows what happens when the sun goes down under the cloak of night, you know? I think there's a weird paranoia that goes on. Once you feel comfortable and secure in your relationship, then it's like, oh, you want to go see that? Have a good time. But I'll be here when you get back. I mean, maybe I won't be.
I don't think Eddie's going to be worried about his girl and one of her friends going to see Ariana Grande.
No,
and
that's why
by
she
some other
was
dude.
Willing. No, that's
like
why
if you get your girl taken from you at an Ariana Grande concert by some random dude, then shame on you.
Because she didn't.
No dude at an Ariana Grande concert.
She doesn't want
my girl
Spaghetti going off the shows. This before Spaghetti got heavy, he was. You know, he was
whoa!
No, he's not wrong.
That's heavy. What is this?
He's chunky now.
It's bad.
Come on, man.
It's
he said it's
bad.
Back.
Yeah, it's
come on.
Bad.
I mean, he's like Mac from It's Always Sunny. He's just bulking up. That's all he's
cultivating
doing.
Mass.
That's all he's doing. Exactly. Ocular pat downs for everyone.
Adam Sandler, last thing, Sandler was on SNL. And I think that, talk about vapid cynicism. Everybody loves to disparage Adam Sandler and his career.
My goal in life, I've tweeted this out multiple times. My goal in life is to one day be able to dress like Adam Sandler every day.
Adam Sandler has kept his friends and broader group of colleagues employed and afloat, and in fact, probably well healed at this point from top to bottom for 20 years now. That's the game. That's the game in show business. Keeping afloat. These people from the outside who weigh in, man, that movie wasn't good. He hasn't made a good movie in 5 years. Yeah, guess what? He also made seven figures on it, if not...
Direct deposit says otherwise.
And so did everybody else. And in the meantime, he, by all accounts, is a lovely, lovely fella. You can see that. That seems to permeate through the screen. And he took the opportunity to pay homage to his pal, Chris Farley. That leads me to this question, Cole Wright.
Austin, did your eyes sweat when you watched that? Because I've watched it three or four times, and I feel like almost every time it gets me.
I watched Adam Sandler's special on Netflix or wherever.
He already did it there.
A few months ago, he did that already. Yeah, it was a wonderful thing, and anyone who has accomplished what he has should follow Adam Sandler's lead and basically pay tribute to yourself and your own career before it's too late. You only go around once. Do it now before people are doing that while you're 6 feet under. I thought that was really, really cool that Adam Sandler basically did a retrospective of his career for himself while he's, 50 or whatever he is, you know, instead of being an 87-year-old man and sitting in a chair and, he used to be funny.
Yeah. When his dad shaved his beard for the first time, he's like, man, it'll grow back. It's good stuff.
Win, play, show. Spaghetti, I'm going to let you go too here. Win, play, show, the three best SNL cast members ever.
For me, it's tough because a lot of the best guys, I wasn't like of age or didn't really recognize
it. He's not old enough.
I could add this. I think now people like to kind of, you know, poo-poo on the SNL cast. But like people in the time didn't really appreciate even, I guess, what is it now, almost a decade ago, when they had like Bill Hader and Andy Samberg, Jason Sudeikis, Kristen Wiig, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler. Like those, when you had that group, that is a really good group, and people in the moment didn't realize and didn't think it was good. I actually appreciate it, and now looking at how the cast changed even way past that, I'm like, well, people didn't like it back then, but that cast now, they're all in movies by themselves making tons of money, and they're all super famous.
I feel like the ladies were stronger than the guys.
Sure.
They're during
that
run.
Yeah. With Maya Rudolph and Krista Wiig, like, absolutely. Like, they could carry
movies alone now.
Without a doubt.
And no one back then realized.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were four... female cast members that were funnier than
they were all like. I mean, they were in the writer's room. They were getting it all done. They were the best. Yeah,
I'll give quickly. I loved Will Forte, Sandberg, and Bill Hader from my group of what I watched. But like all time, obviously, I know Will Ferrell was one of the best. Chris Farley,
it's
one of the best.
Same thing as anybody weighing in on Sammy Baugh. If you didn't see John Belushi, then how do you in the moment, those things, it's topical humor. 2/3 of it, at least, is topical humor, so it's lost on you, Dan Aykroyd doing Jimmy Carter. Sure. It doesn't.
I didn't watch those in real time, but I mean,
that's like, what I'm saying.
Norm MacDonald,
Victor Mainway. Remember Mainway? He's like, it's a bag of glass. It's a bag of refracting light.
bag of glass. That predates me too. I can't really say that I know John Belushi was up there.
How old were you when you started watching SNL, though? I was way too young.
Probably like 11 or 12, yeah.
I was like 7 or 8.
I remember watching Eddie Murphy and Joe Piscopo, and that's when I first just started.
I don't even know what I was doing up that late. I have no clue. Like, maybe it was only like the first half hour before the musical guest and the news came on, because now I feel it's paced a little different.
While you consider yours, Eddie Murphy is the win. In place category, Dana Carvey. Now, Phil Hartman, ooh. Will Ferrell, Kristen Wiig.
Wow, Dana Carvey, that's...
That's where it gets tough. Is the third slot. Dana Carvey was.
He was good. I mean, Church Lady was classic.
Go ahead. A little overdone, Church Lady, but
you know what? I'd say if as good as Dana Carvey was, I'd say during that era, because I watched it. I mean, that's when I was really watching as a kid. I'm gonna have to go John Lovitz, man.
Whoa!
Tales of Ribaldry. I just want to be loved. Is that so wrong? Like that guy was
Hanukkah Harry.
Yes, on Herschel on Henry on Shlomo.
Whoa!
Pretty terrific.
I didn't know anybody else remembered that.
Come on.
Gave him a macaroon.
It's pretty good.
Gave one of the kids a macaroon.
He did.
What's this? It's a macaroon.
His
beard it's delicious.
His beard was terrible. It was such a good sketch. Such a good sketch. How about Bad Idea Jeans? Remember that one?
Very nicely done, Cole Wright. Spaghetti. That's it? You've given your list?
I don't really have an order. Just the three guys that I love to see on screen. It's Hader. I think Sandberg and his digital shorts are really funny. Mm. And I think Will Forte had some characters that were insane on that
Christopher
show.
Guest. Oh, you know, Martin Short. I mean, they weren't on Martin Short.
Ed Grimley.
And I mean, Christopher Guest was only on for 1 year. And Billy Crystal as well. But they did short films that are hysterical to this day.
You know who? Funny. Another guy, too, that you don't really ever think of. But it's like, man, when you put it in a bubble, Garrett Morris. Garrett Morris was pretty good. There were a lot of scouts.
He was good. I he predates me though.
That's true. You didn't watch the reruns though.
Yeah, Tim Kazurinsky was funny in little places there.
Lorraine Newman.
Lorraine Newman. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, of course, was in there, and she was always a bit player. She rarely had a
Anthony Michael Hall. That was like one season. Not
a lot
great.
Of people. A lot of people say he stole a lot of stuff or borrowed a lot of stuff. But Michael, but Mike Myers, go back and check out. He'd have to be in the top 10 too. All right, we've opened up a can of worms that we're not going to close up.
That could be an entire episode
today. Yeah, we really could do a whole thing on all of that. All right, I think we covered a lot of ground here, though. Mm-hmm. Eddie Spaghetti, do you feel good about what we did today?
I feel very good about today.
Give it a letter grade. Did you like the QB conversation, or was it too rangy, too all over the place?
No, I think it's great, and I think to get Joe Thomas to come in here first time and really seem like he was like really into it and to give his thoughts, I mean.
Do you think he was into it, Cole?
I think he was. Studio 66 brings the best out of everybody, yeah. Man.
Really?
It does.
It's like you always say,
I thoroughly enjoy it. I feel like it's been a long time. I haven't been invited. I was wondering, did I do something wrong the last time?
Oh, stop.
It's been months.
One of our most, one of our highest rated visitors to Studio 66. And everybody has their favorites and everything. But can I tell you, when it comes up, when we powwow, podcast, little gang, DDFP, what about this guy? What about that person? Eddie Spaghetti always says Cole Wright's my favorite.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Eddie Spaghetti's as well.
I always say that, you know, we have like we did kind of have our regular cast and it's like it's Hank and it's Money and then back during the season.
But you don't like those guys.
No, it's not what I was saying. What I'm saying is that Cole has other obligations too. We can get Cole in here. It doesn't skip a beat because Cole is just the same as all those guys. Like if it's food, if it's music, if it's TV, sports beyond football. So
highlight.
That's what we need. Yeah,
yeah, but he had a terrible.
I mean, we didn't even get it in there.
He came out of the gate with a terrible Aaron Rodgers opinion. What kind of weird skepticism do you have of Aaron Rodgers?
That's
at this
point of the show. Is you got to throw out opinions here?
When Aaron Rodgers' numbers look like Drew Brees's, we'll talk. When Aaron Rodgers gets a 5,000-yard season under his belt, which Drew Brees has, I mean, he stumbles over
Aaron
those when he gets
Rodgers
out of bed every day.
Hasn't thrown for five?
No.
He never got the five.
It's almost
He also had
Matt Stafford has, though.
He had a better single season. His 2011.
How were the Packers last
year? Aaron Rodgers' 2011 is better than any single season Drew Brees has ever had. Well, how do I know that? Because the only single season by a QB that rivals his 2011 is Marino's 84.
How many touchdowns did he throw?
I think he was 48-3 or something like that.
Ooh, that's solid. That's solid. I'm not saying he's not fantastic, but I'm just saying.
That was the Matt Flynn game. They're 14-1, and they let Rodgers sit down for that week, and Matt Flynn lights it up.
The Saints should have been in the Super Bowl the last 2 years anyways. We already know that.
They should have been?
We already know that.
Yeah, all right. That's another conversation for another time again. Mm-hmm. All right, the great Cole Wright, everybody. You, Sean O'Hara, Joe Thomas. Good times here in Studio 66. Thanks to Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce for you later on in the week. Until then, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.